Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Tuesday morning to you. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure the people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure that people can keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early rises this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians out there, making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Amazon drivers, Amazon workers, all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all my front and rear load and truck drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 613 IBEW workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night. I lost my train of thought here. I usually am good about the intros. That didn't slip my mind. I ain't done them in a minute. But shout out to all my early morning, late night local funeral home workers out there. Shout out to all my early morning, late night people listening in the bed right now as well. All right. We got a lot to get to this morning. Raheem Morris, Michael Penix both spoke to the media yesterday, and they had some things to say as the Falcons close out their season. Terry Fontenot will speak to the media Thursday. Of course, we'll let you hear that once we get audio from it. And as far as Raheem Morris goes, I want to start there, and then we'll get to Michael Penix Jr. But the main thing that kind of intrigued me from Raheem Morris's press conference yesterday is a little bit about what changes could be made on defense, because I thought he would maybe sound a little bit more, I thought he would sound maybe a little bit more sure and maybe a little bit more, I guess, for lack of a better term, I thought he would maybe try to stay 10 toes down for Jimmy Lake more than he did. But when he was asked about if Jimmy Lake will return as DC, he didn't sound too sure. Now, again, the other thing, too, is that's not necessarily his call. I'm sure if there was going to be a change, and again, we don't know if Jimmy Lake is going to stay here, be kept here, be retained, or if he's going to be let go. And Raheem Morris, while I'm sure he will be involved in that conversation, I'm sure it's not his – actually, I know it's not his final call. So that's part of it too. But he, again, didn't sound super sure when he was asked about Jimmy Lake and if he's going to return as the Falcons DC. So let's let you hear Raheem Morris talk about what he had to let's let you hear Raheem Morris's answer when he was asked on if Jimmy Lake will return as DC.
We got to evaluate all of our coaches. We got to evaluate all of our players. We got to evaluate everything that we do from a whole program standpoint, and we will do those things. That's what starts today, Daniel. That's when we'll get out there and get those things going. We'll have a couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of everything to evaluate everything. We'll have a chance to get back together and really talk about these things, and that's the process that happens now. You know, there'll never be anything that's the same in the National Football League, whether it's players, whether it's coaches, whatever the case may be, since I've been here. Since I've been lucky enough to be in the league, that's just how it is. We'll do those things now.
So there you have it. And that didn't sound reassuring is the word I was looking for earlier. He didn't sound very reassuring when talking about Jimmy Lake and if he will return or not. So that to me was the most intriguing thing. And that's the thing that kind of perked my ears the most. I do think if the Falcons do decide to make a change as far as like coaching and front office goes, I do think that change will most likely come at defensive coordinator. I do think if anybody is going to be let go from this regime, it's going to be Jimmy Lake, because the defense was not very good up until the bye week. It was solid at the beginning of the season. The pass rush was not very good until after the bye week. We know that. And then he obviously had the performance he did on Sunday where it seemed like everything just reverted back to not very good, pass rush and all. So if any changes were going to be made, I think you do look at defensive coordinator, and I think it would be at defensive coordinator. But we'll see. I don't think Terry Fontenot is going to be let go. I don't think Terry Fontenot is going to be fired, nor do I think Terry Fontenot should be fired. I think the Falcons should keep him. I know people are, again, upset with Terry Fontenot. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. I know people are upset with Terry Fontenot with some of the picks, but Terry Fontenot was hit on a lot of picks too. First of all, he's hit on all the really the most important picks besides Kyle Pitts. I'll give you that one. But he hit on Drake London, hit on Bijan Robinson, and it seems like so far he's hit on Michael Penix Jr. He hit on Tyler Allgeier. Remember, that was his pick. He's hit on some picks. I think Zach Harrison was a pretty good pick up to this point. Zach Harrison has played pretty well. So he's had some good picks. And look, I don't have them all right in front of me, but I'm sure there's probably even a couple more after that. So, yes, I know some of the other defensive picks seem a little questionable right now, but look, it takes time to develop. And also, too, it's about developing guys. Talking about development, use the word development there. It's about developing guys. So it's not Terry Fontenot's job to draft them and then develop them. Terry Fontenot and the scouts, the Falcon scouts, see potential and think there's a guy that can come in and help the team, especially those later round picks. It's about, okay, we see this potential, we see what he can be, and maybe what he can do right now, but it's also about developing these players, and that's up to the coaches. That's not up to Terry Fontenot. So, okay, if you want to look at Terry Fontenot and be like, I don't know, some of these picks are questionable. Look, there's no defending Kyle Pitts. He's fourth overall pick. He was supposed to come in and help right away and be ready. So I get that one, okay? I'm not defending Terry Fontenot and Kyle Pitts at all. But as far as some of the other picks that I've heard people be mad about as far as, you know, later round defensive picks, it's up to coaches to develop those guys too. And it doesn't always happen year one. It always happens year two. Sometimes it takes year three, year four for these guys to really blossom. I feel like that's kind of what happened with Zach Harrison. It took him year three to kind of really get it, year four to really step in and get it. And I believe Arnold Ebiketie was Terry Fontenot's pick as well, I believe. And AK has started to come on as well. So that's another guy. So it takes time with some of these players. It doesn't always just click right away. So I think that's one thing that people are kind of glancing over when talking about Terry Fontenot's picks. He's hit on these past three 8 overall picks. And then he's also had some good later round picks too. So I don't think Terry Fontenot should be let go. I think they should keep Terry Fontenot. Again, I understand the frustration with Kyle Pitts. I understand the frustration kind of with some of the later round picks. But again, it's about developing those later round picks as well too. So, all right, keeping it pushing here on the Hometown Take, letting you hear some of the best audio clips from Raheem Morris this morning. Another thing that everybody wants to know is where, I think we all know at this point, but we want to hear it from Raheem Morris as well. Where do things stand with Big Kirko? Where do things stand with Kirk Cousins? Well, he talked about that, and I think he gave a pretty good coach speak answer, but I think it also needs to be heard, and I think the writing is on the wall when you hear Raheem Morris speak about what's going to be happening with Kirk Cousins. But here's Raheem Morris talking about where things stand with Kirk Cousins right now.
Obviously, when you're talking about Kurt, you know, we're talking about where we ended it last, and he did exactly what he told me he would do. He would be the best backup quarterback in the National Football League, and that's where he's at. So, obviously, those things will come up in these same discussions. Those things will all mask themselves. You know, Kurt left today, gave me a hug, and said he'll talk to me soon, and we'll make some of those decisions, obviously, with him, obviously because of his contract status and all the things that he's talking about, right? So, like, you just never know, and I think that's the part of the process that we'll go through right now with him.
Yeah, so again, you hear Raheem say you never know, but it also seems like we kind of know. The Falcons are going to move on from Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins, I'm sure, wants an opportunity to go start somewhere because it's not going to be with the Atlanta Falcons, unfortunately. So where Kirk Cousins ends up landing, we'll find out what that looks like and how that looks, if the Falcons cut him, if the Falcons can find a way to trade him, probably not. Probably going to be a post-June 1st cut or something of that nature. That's probably more so what it's going to be. But that's where it stands with Kirk Cousins. They're going to – Raheem Morris, Kirk Cousins, Terry Fontenot, I'm sure, are all going to sit down soon and find out what the best next step is for the team and for Kirk Cousins. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Kirk and just exactly how they – decide to handle the contract situation that you heard Raheem Morris talking about there, and also, you know, how they go about moving Kirk Cousins and, you know, how they handle, like I said, the contract situation. So it'll be interesting to see there, but just right now we're just kind of waiting as far as the decision with Kirk Cousins goes. But we all pretty much know that he's going to be – that the Falcons are going to move on from him, and it just kind of is a question of how and when as well. So – there you have that. And I want to stay on the quarterback situation and the quarterback conversation for the next few minutes here before we catch a break. And I want to talk about if Raheem Morris regrets not putting Michael Penix in sooner. And I always was of the opinion, and I still am of the opinion, that if you were going to do it any sooner, you were only going to do it a week earlier. Like, the only other good time to start Michael Penix was going to be the week before he actually started, was the Las Vegas Raiders game. But Raheem Morris trying to do right by his veteran quarterback and Kirk Cousins and the guy they signed to big money. They tried to give him all the chances in the world to show he can bounce back and show he can still be that guy. Raheem gave him another chance to try and bounce back against Las Vegas. And unfortunately, that did not go well at all. And so after that, he made the change. So I don't think it would have happened any sooner. The week before the Raiders game was the Minnesota Vikings game. Kirk Cousins was returning to Minnesota. It was on the road against a very good Minnesota defense. That was not the situation to start Michael Penix, for him to make his first career start. So if it was going to be any sooner, it would have been a week sooner than what they did. And I was fine with them giving Kirk Cousins one last chance because, again, you did give a lot of money to Kirk Cousins, and Raheem Morris did everything he could to do right by his quarterback. So I was never of the opinion to do it any sooner. But let's hear Raheem Morris talk about if he has any regrets on not putting Michael Penix.
You know, it's never like a regret thing. You got to make the decisions. You got to do them when you think they're the right way. And when the decision was made is when I felt like the team played really well outside of our quarterback position, and that's when I made the change. And when you make that change, it's hard to say you regret it. Because you had a lot of confidence in the guy that was out there before, and we just were able to get it done, unable to get it done. And you got to make those decisions. And we're putting this vision to make decisions. I'm in the decision-making process. And I made a decision when I did, gave us the best chance I thought to win. And so that was the decision at the time. So it's hard to say. But the kid's in a good spot.
Yeah, again, I completely agree with Raheem Morris. I don't think he should regret it. I don't think he does regret it, nor should he. So, look, again, if you're going to do it anytime, it would have been just maybe a week sooner. But I completely agree with giving Kirk Cousins all the chances that you possibly could to allow him to bounce back. And he did it. And then they made the change. He did what he had to do. So that's good on Raheem Morris. All right. When we come back 5 minutes from now, I had a special opportunity to interview a special person, Joe Gatto. You know him from Impractical Jokers, maybe the Misery Index. Guess what? He's got a tour, the Let's Get Into It tour, coming to the Woodruff Arts Center. You'll learn all about it next. I had a chance to sit down with him. You'll hear that interview next here on the Hometown Take. That's 5 minutes from now on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
He is setting sail on yet another very, very successful. So this morning,
I'm fantastic, Dylan. Thank you so much for that very energetic intro. I love your energy, buddy.
I appreciate it. Joe, I want to go ahead and get straight into it. We'll ask you some sports questions here in a couple of minutes, but I want to go straight ahead and get into your new Let's Get Into It tour. So we all know about your Night of Comedy tour. Smash it. Very successful. Sold out multiple venues. So on the Let's Get Respect.
It's an event for people to come out and laugh. I think it's really important that we all get together and laugh. So I'm really excited to bring this new tour. It really takes a look at how we become the person that we are. So I'm a storyteller. I love telling stories. And I try to analyze how, like, you don't know each other's journey. I don't know how you got to your job. But, you know, I'm this loud, bold comedian. But I started as this really nerdy, geeky kid. I was like an OG, original geek back in the day. I used to... My dad was at work. I used to make tests for my father. I used to open up like encyclopedias and make a multiple choice exam for Papa. So when he came home from his 12-hour day work day selling life insurance door to door, I'd hit him with a pop quiz and he'd be like, what is going on? Can't you just be a real boy? But it was like, it's just funny to see like your progression of how you do that. And I just take a look at like all my little experiences in my life and how they define the person you are, and now being a father and having my own family and what I'm doing to those children. You know, it really is interesting to see.
And I want to get into that without you giving too much away, because obviously you're going to go into these stories. Like you said, you're a storyteller. You're going to get into these stories during the show. So I don't want you to give too much away, but I was reading, you know, what you had to say about the let's get into it and how you were, let's get into it tour and how you having fun with it so far. And you talked about what you just said there, being that nerdy, quiet loner kid who's obsessed with, you said dragons and math. And I love that. And now this bold, loud and hilarious, I might add, guy that you are now. So when did, again, without giving too much away, when do you think that change happened for you? Was it a specific moment that something just kind of clicked and there was a flip that maybe switched, or was it just, you know, time throughout the years, obviously, in Practical Jokers, I'm sure, helped that as well. So what kind of created that change for you?
I think when I was in high school and I was in freshman, sophomore year, I started getting like bullied a little bit. I went to an all boy school. So, you know, it was I wasn't one of the cool kids, one of the athletes and whatnot, you know. So there's this football player friend of mine who, you know, just one day I just knocked his books out of his hands and I said, pick those up. And he was like, I'm sorry, Mr. Gatto. And he like played into the joke and it became really funny. Like he would give me piggybacks to, I'd make him carry me to class. Like he was this huge linebacker. Like it was really funny. And it actually like bonded our class in a really fun way. And I was like, oh, wow, humor could be a tool to bring people together. So I think that definitely started part of it. But then growing up, I loved comedy. I loved watching people laugh, laughing with my family. My dad and I used to watch like a lot of comedy films, you know, Mel Brooks, Jim Carrey, things like that. So it was like really fun to be able just to laugh together, and it always made me feel good. So I think that probably planted the seed.
There you go. I absolutely love that. And again, it's all about progression. And that's what, like you said, the theme of the Let's Get Into It tour is all about, which, by the way, is going to be playing at the Woodruff Arts Center January 11th. So it's coming up soon. Get your tickets now. And it's going to be a absolutely fun time. And, of course, you've had sold out crowds, Madison Square Garden in New York, obviously the O2 Arena in, London. So Joe Gatto just absolutely killing it right now. And speaking of killing it, I also want to get into, you recently released your first ever solo stand-up special, Messing With People. It's on YouTube now, so make sure you go ahead and check that out. When I hear a title about that, and I'm actually going to tell you a story, because I talked to Q actually a few months back, and that was a fun conversation. One of my favorite, absolute, actually, it is probably my most favorite moment, because I always watching Practical Jokers.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Thanks, man.
For sure. And one of my favorite moments, actually the all-time favorite moment of you that I have of you on a Practical Jokers, is when y'all were at, I forgot what the restaurant was called, but it's when you did the potato thing. You're like, potato.
Yeah, Skoofy Potatoes. Yeah, man.
Yes, exactly. That's like,
I've ruined mashed potatoes for the world.
No, I love it. It makes me want them more now. So
during the holidays, I would get all these videos I'm tagged online from like all these kids just running around their dining room table, throwing potatoes around their house. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
It's really the only right way to serve up mashed potatoes.
Only way. I agree, buddy. I agree.
But when I hear messing with people, it makes me think of moments like that. I really just want to know how you build up the courage to go out and mess with people like you did on in Practical Jokers. Man, like, how do you build up the courage to go out and do some of the stuff and do some of the things that you've done?
I think it's a little bit like, you get better at stuff when you practice it more. And I think a big thing about it is knowing how far you could go with somebody. Because the thing we learned early was that people are way more into get down and be silly than you think. Like, we always thought all this stuff would be weird. Like, I remember one of our first things we were doing, like, we were walking in the park and we're like, let's try to hold hands with people as they're just walk by them, grab their hand and just go for a stroll in the park. And it was insane how many people were just like, oh, hi, how are you? And you would just hold hands and walk with these people. It was just so fun. And I was like, oh, you know, so the thing you don't see on TV is we talk to these people for 10 minutes to figure out if they're a good mark or they're going to be good comedy, because you only get really one shot at it, you know? Right. And then all of a sudden you start being a little weird and you get a little more weird. And, you know, by the end of it, before you know it, you have their hat on and you're pretending you're a flamingo. Like, right, these things happen, you know? So I just think that's a big part of it. It was really good. And I've always had a good experience with it. I've never really made other people the butt of the joke. I've always tried to turn it inward. I think that's a big thing. Right. I like to laugh with people, not at people. So I think that's a really important part of it.
Yeah, and I was about to say, you were one of the best, just when I was watching the show, you were one of the best at just getting people, like you were talking about, to just kind of buy into the joke and just run along with it. So you are definitely one of the best when it comes to that. All right, I want to get back to the Let's Get Into It tour. I want to get back to your solo career as well, because you have done a great job kind of, you know, transitioning over into the solo stage of your career. And I want to talk about kind of how that transition has been for you, honestly, because during Impractical Jokers, obviously, and even, you know, you can talk about it with the Misery Index as well, you are so good at, you know, when you want Impractical Jokers, bouncing off of
bouncing off of Sal, bouncing off of Murr. Y'all were so good at bouncing off of each other, reading each other's energy. And then also even with the people you were, you know, having fun with, you were good at doing their energy too. But now, obviously, doing solo and stand-ups, that's different. You know, you're kind of creating your own energy, and you obviously create energy for the fans, and then you start to feed off their energy, but you're the one to initiate that and create that. And there's nobody really to bounce off to. It's all on you to create that energy, create that fun atmosphere, which you're very good at doing. Was that a tough transition for you, though?
Yeah, that was a little different for sure. Like, I'd performed live my whole life. You know, I wasn't afraid to perform live. It was doing it solo and being by yourself and being right. The one who's talking for 65 minutes and bringing everybody along and being engaging enough to do that, which I really welcomed the challenge. And I feel like I really enjoyed it. So in the beginning, I was like, all right, I'm going to try stand up to see this format, to see if it's something I enjoy. And then instantly, I like to be the reason why people came out and laughed. And I was like, oh, this is fun. I can, you know, tell more about me. And then if the show is terrible, it's my fault. Or if it's great, it's my job well done. You know, it's all on me. So I accepted that challenge and I liked it. And it quickly took off. And I realized, okay, there's something here, because I always wanted to put out a product I enjoyed. I always wanted to put out something I could be proud of. And I feel like with stand up, I was like, okay, let me see if I could do this. And then I felt like, okay, I'm enjoying this. People are enjoying themselves. And I that was definitely the biggest thing, but I'm not afraid to start the party and keep it rolling. Like, I think that's a big part of my personality, is like, I love to make sure people are having fun and just, you know, entertaining people. And with the live shows, it's fun because you feel the laughter, you see the people. I'm talking to people in the crowd a little bit, or seeing how the crowd is going, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to like riff off something that's happening, or especially when I go to a town. Like, I love to walk around. I'm not one of those comics that goes and sits in his hotel room and waits till the showtime. Like, I go get a coffee and a donut. I walk down Main Street. I get to get a feel for the town, and I talk about that a lot too. So I think that's a big part of it, but I love that. It was a welcome challenge, and I think I rose to it.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to piggyback off of that a little bit, because, you know, obviously you're coming with the material that you've already prepared, as a lot of comedians do, but just like you said, there are times when you're riffing and having fun with something that may be happening in the crowd, talking about experiences you've had in that city that you're going to be in. How much did, again, like a show like Impractical Jokers, where there's a lot of improv, you planned a lot of stuff too, but a lot of stuff is just improv. You kind of do off the cuff. How much has that helped your solo career? Because again, there are times where you're like, oh, that's happening. We got to dig into that mm-hmm. a little bit more. So how much has that, your improv background, helped your solo stand-up career as well?
I think 100%. I think, you know, it really is not afraid to dive in, have the confidence to find something funny in what's just happened. You know, like, I'm not a crowd work kind of guy. I'm not like a where are you from, what do you do kind of. Right. Person, but like, if something happens in the audience, I'll bring the lights up and start talking. Like, there was this one time a girl was trying to sneak in like quietly, and she was doing a terrible job at it. And then she had like forgot something in the bed, so she started sneaking back out, and I brought the lights up, and I was like, that's okay, you know, we'll wait. And she like, so she was like trying to sneak out. It was one of those theaters where there was no break in the center, so she'd be like, excuse me, all the way through. So everybody was laughing, and then when she came back, I made everybody give up. Like, I didn't tell her. I was like, when she comes in, everybody give her a standing ovation. So when she came in, we all like applauded for her. Like, it was real fun and fun. It was a great moment. We all had a good time with it, you know, so things like that. And, you know, I'm not afraid to take those risks, because I know that people are there to have a good time. I'm putting out the vibe that it is a good time. So you just roll with it, you know.
I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. It is Joe Gatto joining me again. We are talking about his new Let's Get Into It tour. It's already started, and it is coming to Atlanta. It is coming to the Woodruff Arts Center on January 11th. So make sure you go ahead and get your tickets now. Also, make sure you check out his Messing With People recently put out stand-up special, Messing With People. It's on YouTube now, so make sure you go check that out as well. Joe, I do want to get a quick sports question in for you before we let you go, because when you were on Practical Guys at baseball events, you were at basketball events too, but are you a big baseball guy? Would you say that's kind of like, or you know, is that the sport that you mainly come up with? Or
I'm not sport centric at all. I mean, I don't have the body of a sports person. I look like I ate a basketball, but I think I love a live event. Like, when we go to like live, you're being in New York too. It's such, you know, a good town for sports. Yeah. You have plenty of options, but some terrible things ever happened at a baseball game with the New York Mets. You know, they made me, I lost the throw. They made Noah Syndergaard, their star pitcher, sign baseballs and throw them into the crowd. And he was just throwing them right to kids. We're like, yo, and I was putting them in my fanny pack and telling the kids to buy them on eBay. it was such a hard, it was terrible just watching all these dreams get crushed.
Oh man, that is tough. That is tough. I was going to say, you know, the Mets got a Juan Soto, and that was a big signing. Yeah. You know, I don't know, maybe in one of these days you can maybe get him to sign some baseballs and throw them at, and then hand them out to little kids later or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they had a great postseason last year, so maybe it's going to be the piece of the puzzle they needed.
There you go. Joe, thank you so much for the time. One more time, it is Joe Gatto. You know him from Practical Jokers. You know him from Misery Index. Make sure you also go check out his very successful Messing With People stand-up special that is on YouTube now. And make sure if you do nothing else, you go check out the Let's Get Into It tour. It's coming to the Woodruff Arts Center January 11th. Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. And can't wait to check out the show, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Great stuff there by Joe. Get him joining us and joining the Hometown Take. When we come back here on the Hometown Take, let's get into some NFL headlines because Black Monday, it hit. And some decisions that were made, predictable. Others, surprising. We'll talk about it next here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Appreciate everybody that's tuned in right now. Appreciate all my people already at work or on their way to work that are tuned in and listening. Thank you. Appreciate all my people that are already at the gym or on their way to the gym that are tuned in. Thank you. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app. Make sure you follow the radio station as well at 92.9 The Game. Follow myself @_DylanMatthews on all social media platforms. And like I said, download that free Odyssey app. Because if you do that, guess what? If you're not an early riser, if you're not typically an early riser, you can listen to my show not just at 5 a.m. You can listen to it at 5 p.m. You can listen to it at 8 a.m. Maybe when you're waking up or on your way to work, at 9 a.m., 10 a.m., whenever, noon, 3 o'clock, don't matter. You can listen to my show in its entirety whenever you want with the free Odyssey app. And you can do that with not just my show, but with any of the great shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can listen to full shows in their entirety. You can go back and listen to your favorite segments, interviews. You can do all that with the free Odyssey app. So make sure you download that thing on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. Okay, we're going to get into some NFL headlines because didn't have a chance. None of the moves really had come down after I got off the air yesterday. So we're going to talk about some of the firings and keepings of NFL coaches and GMs. One being Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo was fired by the New England Patriots. Robert Kraft said it's all on him.
He was talking about how he puts all the blame on himself for putting Jerod Mayo in a position where he really couldn't succeed. And it kind of sounded like, well, if you feel that way, why don't you just make the team better and keep him? But he did say he feels like Jerod Mayo needed more time and that maybe he was rushed into a situation as a first-time head coach that, you know, like you said, he couldn't succeed in, and so he should have waited and given him more time before he let him become a head coach. But we'll see if Jerod Mayo gets an opportunity elsewhere. I think he will. I think he could be a solid head coach for sure. And like you said, I think Robert Kraft was right as far as not giving him the talent, not giving him the team that he needed to succeed. So I do think that was a fair assessment, and we'll see if Jerod Mayo gets another opportunity. As far as some keepings that were a little bit surprising, it's not the fact that they kept Brian Daboll. I'm talking about the New York Jets. But it's the fact that they kept their GM. I was a little surprised that they kept their GM. But I will give credit to Bo Morgan, who you're here coming up in about 16 minutes. I will give credit to Bo Morgan. He made a very good point yesterday when talking about these moves by the Giants, keeping, again, their head coach Brian Daboll and their GM. I will give Bo credit because he said a lot of people think that the Giants GM needs to be fired because of them not keeping Saquon Barkley and paying Daniel Jones. And paying Daniel Jones maybe is a fireable offense, yes. But look, year before he had just brought them to the playoffs. He had looked solid. Him and Saquon looked like a fairly decent tandem offensively. And when it came to this offseason and them having to basically choose either Daniel Jones or Saquon, they chose the quarterback because it is the most important position. And he also made the point that it was an opportunity for Daniel Jones to either show he's a franchise QB or show he's not that guy. And he showed he's not that guy. So, look, they didn't want to overpay a running back, and they wanted to know about their quarterback. And guess what? They found out. So now they know they need to go get a quarterback. They can also invest in running back in the draft if they want to. They got a number one wide receiver that they need to get a quarterback to who can accurately deliver the ball to him. And that's where the Giants stand right now. So when he broke it down like that, I understood. And I honestly agreed. Because, look, you got to know at some point when it comes to your quarterback, and they needed to find out, and they found out that Daniel Jones wasn't that guy. So, look, I think Brian Daboll is a really good head coach, and I definitely thought keeping him was a smart move, but I wasn't sure about the GM. But when you look at it that way, as far as they didn't want to overpay a running back, even though Saquon was indeed the dude to play, you understand them not wanting to pay a running back and not being able to afford $20 million running back or however much Saquon is making, and a $40 million quarterback, which Daniel Jones was. And that also gave them the opportunity to see whether or not Daniel Jones was about that life. So we'll see. But Daniel Jones, obviously, no longer New York Giant. But the GM and Brian Daboll, the head coach, going to be able to continue to try and build a winning team in New York. So there you have it. The Colts defensive coordinator is out as well, talking about Gus Bradley. They let him go, former Jacksonville Jaguars head coach, one-time defensive coordinator for Seattle's Legion of Boom back there in the 2010s. Gus Bradley joined the Colts in 2022, survived the midseason firing of former Colts head coach Frank Wright later that year. He was retained after last season, but Colts defense continued to slide and not show a lot of promise, so they went ahead and let him go. And the Colts, just if you are wondering, they were 29th this season, and they regressed from 15th in yards. Excuse me, 15 yards allowed. They were 15th in yards allowed. Let me get it together. They were 15th in yards allowed during his first season, and they slipped all the way to 29th. This season at giving up 361.2 yards per game. So whenever you have that type of slip, it's not going to fare too well for you. You're probably not going to last that long. So there you have it. Doug Peterson, he was also fired as the Jaguars head coach.
and they did decide to keep their GM, Trent. They decided to keep their GM, Trent Baalke, after the Jaguars go 4-13 this season. And Jags owner Shad Khan says he never considered a complete organization overhaul and said a move like that would be like, quote unquote, shooting yourself in the foot. So instead, they just decided to fire Doug Peterson. And man, I thought once Doug Peterson was hired as the Jaguars head coach, I thought the Jags were really going to start to go on the rise. And I thought they would get back to the level of, you know, when they had that really good season with Blake Bortles and they made it all the way to the AFC Championship game. I thought they would have more success like that, except more sustained success with Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. But, man, it just went downhill. And I know the injury to Trevor Lawrence didn't help, and they had other injuries as well. But, man, that team just went downhill, and they just went in a direction I did not expect at all. That was one of the more surprising, I guess, implosions from a team, because I thought with Doug Peterson, Super Bowl winning head coach, a good head coach in Doug Peterson, I thought for sure that they would figure it out in Jacksonville. And maybe if they had more time, they would, but you don't get that long in the NFL. That's, you know, what they say the NFL stands for, not for long. So Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson is out. And I think he'll definitely get a somewhere. Will he be a head coach right away? Probably not, but maybe. There are openings, so we shall see. Also, speaking of head coach openings, we already knew the Jets had a opening at head coach after they fired Robert Saleh during the season. And Rex Ryan, former Jets head coach, he feels pretty confident that he could get the Jets job again and be reunited in New York. Now, I do believe that the Jets do need especially if they keep Aaron Rodgers, if they decide to keep Aaron Rodgers, I do believe that they need a head coach that has some cachet, that has been there before, a first-time head coach, just so that they can automatically demand that respect from Aaron Rodgers. Not to say that Aaron Rodgers wouldn't give a first-time head coach respect. I'm not trying to insinuate that. What I am saying is, I'm not sure Aaron Rodgers would give a first-time head coach respect. You know, he just might feel like he can call the shots and be like, no, I want to do this. I ain't doing this. We're going to do that, not this. If you bring in a guy that's already been a head coach, that cachet, that has that respect, I feel like there is more of a chance that Aaron Rodgers says, oh, you're bringing you into two straight AFC championship games. He's been in the city before. He knows what it takes to get it done. All right, I'm listening. You're bringing a guy like Mike Vrabel. Okay, he had a lot of good years in Tennessee. He knows what it takes to get it done. Okay, I'm listening. Now, may he have that same respect for a guy like Ben Johnson out in Detroit? Would he have that same respect for a guy like Aaron Glenn in Detroit? Possibly, but I'm not sure it'll be quite the same. So I do feel like it is a better move by the Jets. They also interviewed Arthur Smith. Now, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers would have that same type of respect for Arthur Smith, knowing that Arthur Smith's first coaching tenure didn't go great. But again, Arthur Smith did a good job making something out of nothing and getting 7 wins out of a few teams that did not have a lot of talent. So you got to give that respect where respect is due. But I'm just not sure if a first-time head coach is the way to go with the Jets when they're going to have a win-now veteran-type team. If they decide to keep Aaron Rodgers, and if you think they decide to keep Aaron Rodgers, then there's maybe a chance that they can keep Davante Adams. We'll see what happens with Garrett Wilson. But if they decide to keep Aaron Rodgers, my point is it's probably going to be a pretty veteran team, pretty veteran ball club. And you got to think that a coach that's been around the block before, has won big before, won in the postseason before, is going to be maybe what's best for that team. But we'll see. We'll see what direction the Jets end up going. Also, Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell, I don't know why he had to do this, but he made clear that he wants to remain the Vikings head coach. The Vikings are in a very good spot right now. Hopefully two capable quarterbacks in Sam Darnold and maybe J.J. McCarthy. We still got to see about J.J. McCarthy, obviously, but they got a top three defense in the NFL right now with guys that are already paid and really no big contract extensions you have to make. Justin Jefferson paid. Like, why would Kevin O'Connell want to go anywhere? He's in a great situation, but he did make it clear that he wanted to stay with the Minnesota Vikings because apparently other NFL teams have been inquiring his services via trade. Why would the Vikings trade Kevin O'Connell after this type of season with, you know, a team that nobody really expected to do much of anything with Sam Darnold at quarterback? So, yeah, duh. Why would Kevin O'Connell want to go anywhere? But he said this, quote, "I'm not really interested in kind of, I guess I should say, addressing the rumors or speculation. What I can tell you is I love this team. I love everything about this organization. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to keep coaching and leading," end quote. Duh. Yeah. He's not going anywhere. None of you other organizations are getting your hands on Kevin O'Connell. Sorry to say that. Vikings aren't letting him go. No chance. All right. That is going to do it for the Hometown Take. Appreciate y'all tuning in this morning. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, 5 a.m. sharp, on a home day edition of the Hometown Take. But when we get back, you will hear the morning shuffle, and you'll find out what Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson got planned for you on a Tuesday edition of the morning shift. That happens after this. Until then, I'll talk to you tomorrow, 5 a.m. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.